Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Tuesday, September 13th, but fear not, it's not a Friday. Mm-hmm. So if it's the 13th, it's not a bad thing. Mm-hmm. Well, we're two DJs coming to you from LA.
What up, people?
Except we're not DJs at all because we don't spin any records.
We spin the words.
Yes, we don't spin discs here.
No.
But I have started a new radio station, and we're going to have music there. And there's going to be DJs there as well. For now, you guys can listen to the stream. I've got some awesome mellow rock music there.
Ooh, I like that.
So 70s, 80s, and beyond, actually. Some new stuff, but all the same tradition of older music, but not like oldies,
yeah,
you know?
Right.
I don't mean like 50s, 60s.
Right, you're not Motown. You're getting the groove on.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. I mean, we're talking like like Eagles and Toto and Sting and, and all these, you know. So a lot of cool stuff. So if you guys will just do me a favor and go to the App Store or to Google Play and download KNX.FM.
KNX.FM.
Yes, and the reason I got that is because the whole idea came because my music has been influenced mainly by one radio station here in the 70s, 80s, and that was KNX FM.
Oh, an homage.
An homage. So.
I like that it spells Knox. KNX, you could make that something.
Like Knox,
Knoxing
right?
on the door.
Yeah, everybody knocks.
Yeah, I don't know. Sorry.
But I could find the domain, and I thought that sounds amazing, and that it'll give people sort of like an idea of what this is about.
Totally.
Although people that were not in LA may have had similar stations, but this one was definitely influential.
I think this is good for when you're cooking a meal, and then it transfers into the bedroom.
Well, you know,
mellow rock, you know?
Oh, shit, I'm bleeding, man.
Oh, good God.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. You know, I'm taking over.
You know why? Because I was scratching my leg because my skin is dry.
Mm.
And suddenly I'm feeling like wetness.
You know what's funny?
God.
You know what's funny about that? Yeah. It's like the day it turns a little fall, we're like, my skin, it's so dry.
Right, exactly. You know? We're going crazy.
It's not easy. But, if you didn't know, it's a little, almost raining a little bit in Los Angeles.
It was actually drizzling. And you know what? I took my bicycle to work today.
How adorable is that?
Right?
Does it have streamers?
Yeah.
Did you ring the bell? Did you have a basket of puppies?
No, but it is a nice bike that I do have. But the reason I did this is because they closed down my street today.
Why?
For work. Like, they had to redo the asphalt or something. I guess they put some treatment on there that that makes it last longer.
Nice.
So they closed off the whole street. So it's like if you leave, you have to leave at 6 in the morning.
Ooh.
And you can't come back till 6 p.m.
That's weird.
So I thought I'm not going to like be stuck not having any place to park when I go home.
Right.
So I decided I'd take my bicycle, come back home, and then I'll just do my work at home until
They retard our street. And right as they left, a woman who did not see the signs barreled out of her driveway, right into the tar, drove off, and now there's an enormous tire track the entire road up the street.
How stupid are people?
It's not smart. It's not smart. It was like burning asphalt. It was like, all right, what are you doing?
Yeah, I mean, what are you doing for crying out loud?
I don't know.
People are crazy. They have no patience at
all.
I agree. Yeah. So I took the bike here, and I thought, wow, is it going to rain? But you know, it's only like it takes me less than 5 minutes.
Yeah, like you could have walked.
Yeah, I could have walked.
Totally.
Except my back's been killing me, so I didn't want to take a chance there.
No.
But walking is a great thing. Biking is a great thing.
I bought a bike, and then I tried to ride it in the LA traffic, and I sold it the very next day.
Really?
Yes.
Huh?
I was like, no.
You see, that's the thing, is I try not to drive on the street at all. I'm like on the sidewalks. That's why I can't get far. And I just kind of cruise.
Yeah.
But if I want to really get some exercise, then I go to bike paths and stuff. Right, you know, like on the beach.
The beach or something, yeah.
Or parks and things like that, you know. But, I'm scared of driving on the street, man. You know, these people that text while they drive or...
No one's going to care about a bicycle. Yeah, no.
Yeah, all it takes is a little jerk of the hand and you can hit the bike rider.
Yeah, no. I'm not doing that. No.
Yeah. So, I'm afraid of that. So that's why I don't do more of it. Mm. But I take small streets, and that's pretty cool.
There you go.
Yeah. So, do you have more comedy coming up? I want to see you
up
on stage.
So I was on last night. It went really well at Mickey's at WeHo.
Uh-huh.
And then my big one's coming up at the Comedy Store on the 21st.
21st, yes. Okay. So that's next week?
Yes. Okay. So I'll be telling more people about that, but it's going to be really great. It's going to be great. It's wonderful. I love performing at the Comedy Store.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, I don't think I've ever been. I've been to the Improv a million times, to the Ice House, but I don't think...
I've been to the Ice House. Yeah, you'll totally enjoy it. It's real... Yeah. It's very, like, old school... You know, like Robin Williams performed there all the time, and it was like, you know, they sign their names, the people who performed. It's like all the big guys have performed there, all the big people. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely famous.
Yeah.
Have you performed at Flappers?
Many times.
Right.
I love Flappers. It's so much fun. They have great chocolate chip cookies.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. That one's a rather new one. I mean, relatively
Yeah, they're trying,
speaking.
Yeah. And they're really, I think Flappers is doing a great job. They're starting like the Burbank Comedy Festival, which I've been into for 2 years. They're trying. I mean, and it's establishing a really good comedy scene in Burbank.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, they're adding some things like North Hollywood also. They're fixing it up and stuff.
Yeah, they're trying.
So
they're trying.
A lot of like artist areas and stuff.
Yeah, NoHo.
Yeah,
If you say it like that, then it sounds way
like
cooler.
Like Soho,
totally.
Right?
Yeah. NoHo.
NoHo. That's North Hollywood, and that's not the greatest. I mean, it's a nice area, you know, but it's no Beverly Hills.
No, but I hate... I love Beverly Hills, but I hate going to Beverly Hills.
Yeah?
I can't find park. It's just like...
Yeah.
It's not fun to like go there as a like a citizen. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
As a tourist, it is
a
lot
of fun. As a tourist,
fun.
It's fun.
Yeah.
But driving around the streets and seeing the houses and stuff is...
Oh, that's... I guess I'm talking about the shopping.
Yeah, I know. You figure downtown Beverly Hills.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But, I actually used to live right down the street there, and... it was busy during lunch. I mean, everybody goes to lunch there.
Yeah, it's
so
tough.
It's amazing how an area can look very different during lunch hour, you know?
Yeah.
But, what are you going to do? In a few minutes, we're going to have a former NFL star calling in.
Yeah, babies.
And we're going to talk about his new book, Motivation, and how to deal with adversity and things like that. So that should be interesting. You guys should catch yesterday's show. We had Susie Q and Jimmy D here, and there are a couple hosts here on the station. Very cool people,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, they're so amazing. They
were
so
cool
cute.
Very cool people. You see, I mean, you can find people over 30 that are cool.
Ouch. Definitely.
Yeah,
come on now.
There you go, you see.
Definitely.
So, a lot of things are happening, but none of them really important, you know? I mean...
Yeah, they have, like, I know a lot of people... The Hillary thing was a big thing with her stumbling. It's still a big thing. Should she have said it and disclosed that she was sick? If not... And there's some Republican that's saying she has Parkinson's and is wearing a medical device underneath her clothes.
Really? Wow.
So I don't know how he knows that.
But
I mean, that is a good question. Do you disclose? Do you not disclose? So that was an interesting thing.
Don't you think you have to, though? I mean, if you're going to be serving in a... If you're going to have so many people voting for you and hoping you lead them... They should know if you're not going to last, possibly.
Well, I think she thought the pneumonia was part of like kind of like a cold or bronchitis, and I don't think you have to say it. But here's my thing.
Yeah.
I love her, but she kind of was out kissing a lot of people and, you know, shaking hands. And I don't know. You can really... And I know in her campaign that pneumonia spread wildly within her campaign staff.
Oh,
so a
really?
Lot of people got it, yeah.
Wow.
So I was like, I mean, other than... She doesn't have to disclose, but I mean, like, maybe she shouldn't be, like, handshaking so many people. But I don't think she knew it was going to get that bad. I think she thought she was like bronchitis and it would pass, but it didn't. Yeah. But I watched Bill Clinton and he was like, we're trying to get her to stay down for one day, but she'll be back up the next day. So yeah, right. There you go. But man, yeah. But someone said it was a body double, the person who came out afterwards. And there's like, they're looking at the stance of her legs and how wide it was compared
everybody's
to like,
analyzing
oh, yeah,
everything,
my God.
Right? Wow.
I'm like, she said words. It's not a body double. But she did put more, I guess, makeup on it. They showed a face to face of the day of where she didn't feel good and collapsed or stumbled. And then when she walked out, and my God, someone came over with some makeup kit because she looked way better.
Really?
She looks very strange but man, she's got a quick makeover. Sephora, someone came over and did something because she looks much better. The power of makeup.
Yeah. I did see a picture here of her looking kind of like weird.
That was at the 9/11 ceremony.
9/11 ceremony.
Yeah, that's when she looked really strange.
She
does,
right?
And puffy.
And she looks like her hair is all frizzy.
Yeah, well, it just looks weird.
Yeah.
She doesn't look like herself there. So, but she was sick.
So that was... So, because you see, what this says, it says this. The caption for the video. 9/11 tapes reveal livid Hillary Clinton. But why would they say 9/11...
Oh, that's about a different story.
They just meant, you think that's something else?
Yeah, that's something about a tape or something, I think.
Okay,
but she did look at the ceremony, at the 9/11 ceremony, she looked really strange.
Is that like with the one with the sunglasses?
Yeah, they're blue, and a lot of people are saying that's specifically a sunglass for Parkinson's.
Really?
And I'm like, because you've never really seen her wear those before.
Right.
But I think they were just sunglasses, but she did look not good. I mean, and she was very sick, obviously, and she... you know, almost took her legs out from under her. So she wasn't doing well. But it is a strange, the next hour, she went to Chelsea's apartment, got some help and some makeup, I think.
Yeah.
And she came out and she looks totally different.
Wow.
So it is, I can understand, but I don't think it's a body double, people. I think it's makeup. I think it's Botox or something. I don't know, but it's not body double.
I was just thinking of FDR, how amazing it was that he hid his, you know, what did he have, polio?
He had polio, and if you don't know, he collapsed basically in his adult life and stopped using his legs.
Right.
So he was in a wheelchair and no one knew.
But there was
no
television at
the
time.
Nobody knew.
You know, so nobody knew.
So what did he do? He did radio fireside chats
because
you can't see him on the radio, and that's why I'm in my pajamas.
And then pictures showed him behind podium or something.
And they would stack him up with braces against the podium, and then someone would be right at his side in case he would fall. But what's interesting, in D.C., they had the FDR Memorial, and it's huge, and you have to go through the Depression, and it's like you have to walk through monuments, at the end is him and a statue of him, and he's seated, and the only thing you can see is if you secretly go around the back of the statue, which you're free to do, you can see a wheel.
Oh.
And that's the only reference to the wheelchair, which is very cool.
Yeah. So there you go, you know, but today you can't get away with stuff like that.
But I think being in a wheelchair now would be an advantage to liberals because they like that kind of thing. Do you know what I'm saying? I think a handicapped candidate is so up my progressive heart. You know what I mean?
Right.
I would love that. Like Tammy Duckworth lost her legs in the war, and she's the senator. And every time she wheels out, I'm like, hell yes!
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah.
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 Nothing wrong with that,
no.
You know?
I think, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how people would react to a handicapped president.
I thought it'd be harder to have a woman president than a handicapped, but I'm like, I think handicapped is like, I think it would be really neat for liberal. I think they would love it. I would love it. I think it'd be great.
Yeah. Cool. I mean, I have no opinion of it. I mean, either way is fine with me. I would never disqualify someone for that.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
Especially FDR. I mean, four terms for crying out loud.
Yeah, and
you
then
know?
You just base your whole campaign on that.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah, you know, and you know, so it was different times. It was definitely different times then.
There's a very cool study here I'm reading about that teenage defiance and can it be manipulated for good, which is in the New York Times. So they took half people and went, you know, try and eat a healthy meal, and they learned all about diets the way everyone's learning about them nowadays in a textbook. And the other half of the study, they showed the food industry and the CEOs as sort of authoritative dark figures that are trying to trick you into eating fats and sugars. And because they had something to go against, that team and that group lost like a significant amount of weight.
Oh, wow.
So it's like, can you use teenage stubbornness for good? I think that's so clever.
Right. It's sort of like reverse psychology.
Yeah, totally. I think it's such a smart idea. And that's sort of what they did with the tobacco industry with kids. It's like, these guys are trying to kill you. And then it was like, they stood up. So, you know, there's a huge drop in and decrease in teenage smoking. Yeah,
that's true. Yeah. Which is a good thing. Man.
Of course. Yeah.
It's a good thing.
But
because
smart. Use their anger.
Yeah.
For good.
I know. And, you know, because I'm just seeing here that the health condition that concerns Americans most.
Is it heart?
Is what cancer.
Is it? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, cancer. And it used to be heart, I guess, heart conditions, heart disease. But now they're saying it's more, it concerns Americans more than obesity, neurological diseases such as Alzheimer's, and even...
Concerns or is it like
concerns?
Worries?
Yeah, like what people are afraid of.
I see.
Yeah,
of course. The big C is so terrifying.
The big C, yeah. And they try to analyze it and all that. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, I'm seeing problems with every disease.
Yeah, it's interesting, though, because cancer has a lot of money behind their research. That's what we notice in the press and all that. And I think, like, Alzheimer's and Parkinson's due to Michael J. Fox, like, they had to push to get into the forefront of...
Right.
Of, like, noticing the disease, awareness of the disease.
That's true, you know. And what I'm thinking is also those diseases are not as common as cancer, you know. Cancer can come in so many forms.
Totally. And affect so many. You all know someone who has had.
Right. Yeah. You know, so that sucks, you know.
Yeah.
But thank goodness in my family there hasn't been any cancer on either side.
So
that's pretty good, you know. That's why I keep smoking. I figured
there you go.
I'll get away with
it. The hell with it. Smoke them if you got them. But it's funny because, like, ALS did the... Remember the water bucket challenge?
Yes.
That was purely to get ALS awareness.
Right? Yeah.
And that spread like wildfire, and that's how you do it these days. Social media campaigns with stuff like that. Brilliant.
Right.
And a lot of that money they raised has discovered, like, a lot of different cures. Not cures, but they're working towards cures. So it's been amazing.
Yeah.
That's a smart campaign.
I know. There's so many awful diseases out there. God
I know.
Damn it.
You have to have it somehow, like, noticeable to get money for the, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You have to almost, like, it's almost like you have to campaign with it. You know, autism awareness, you know, with the puzzle pieces. I mean, they had to push to make people know what that is. And now we all talk about it.
Right. Wow. Well, our guest should be called in any second, so I don't know if I want to open up any big discussions. But check this out. They're saying that... dolphins may have a spoken language.
Yes, I did.
Isn't that
they had,
awesome?
They had a convo recorded.
Yeah, right?
Yes. It sounded like this.
It's cool, but they're saying that they weren't interrupting each other.
Correct. They were listening.
Like a conversation between people. Wow.
Now, some people say they didn't have semantics, like the language we speak, but some people were, a scientist was arguing, but they are clearly stating something to the other, or the other's hearing it, comprehending, and stating back.
Right.
Which is so cool.
I know. And what I think is cool is they're using, like, pulses and stuff.
Yeah,
you know?
Pulses and, yeah.
Yeah. Here we go. Here's our guest now. So let's go ahead and pick that up.
Is it a dolphin?
No, I don't think so. We
Miami
have a really
dolphin?
Cool
no,
guest today.
Hello.
Good morning, Terrell Fletcher. Good Woo-hoo! Morning to you. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Yes, there you go. And we weren't minimizing the Chargers. It's just that you called in when we were talking about dolphins, not the Miami Dolphins, but nevertheless. How you doing, Terrell?
I'm good, man. I can't complain. How you guys doing this morning?
We're awesome, man. Thank you so much for calling in. Are you calling us from San Diego?
I am back home safe and sound in San Diego. Yes, I am.
Wow. So, I mean, how many years have you lived there in San Diego?
Well, I've been here since 1995.
Oh, wow.
When I left college and got drafted by the Chargers to come here in San Diego, there was no way in the world I was leaving this place.
Yeah, right? Where did you grow up?
No way in the world.
Where did you grow up, Terrell?
I grew up in St. Louis, born and raised in St. Louis, Missouri. Uh-huh. Until I was about 17 years old when I left out to go to college at the University of Wisconsin.
Ooh, and I went to Michigan.
4 years there.
Now we're
went to Michigan.
Yeah, we're enemies now, man. I'm kidding.
But she doesn't play football.
We're bonded by the Big Ten, but we're enemies.
Yep, totally. Big Ten love. Big Ten love.
Wow.
Absolutely. So yeah, and I came right out here right after that, 4 years in Madison, and then. Drafted by the Chargers, and those are the only three places I've called home.
Wow, that's good. You didn't have to travel a lot. That's great. I love that.
Yeah. Now, Terrell, did you know early on you were going to make it big like this? Early on in your life?
You know what's interesting is You know, I don't think you're going to hear many people say what I'm about to say, but yes, I did.
That's awesome.
Yes, I did. And it's really ironic. I'm one of those very rare people that I've literally done everything that I ever dreamt about.
Wow.
And when I can't remember wanting to do anything else besides play professional football. And in my most honest thoughts, I also thought about being a pastor. You know, like I would dream about being a pastor. I used to mimic pastors. I remember sitting in church, not really enjoying church at all, but I remember thinking to myself, I could do this as long as I'm that guy, you know, pointing to the pastor. Like, I could do this as long as I end up being that guy.
Yeah.
Because I admired the connection with community and communication and the ability to influence people's lives in a positive way, I admired that. And interestingly enough, the only other job I saw myself doing was had to do with operating in politics and policy, which I've been feverishly praying about over the last 3 or 4 years about what that may look like for me in the next 5 to 7. Mm. So, yeah, I did, man. Now, all the things that come along with it, you can't really imagine all of the stuff that comes along with that. But just at the core of playing sports and being involved in community, when those opportunities hit me, I wasn't surprised. It was like I had been there long before I actually got there.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. So you were able to visualize where you wanted to be.
I think that's vitally important.
I used to sit in the bath and take a shampoo bottle and pretend to talk on the radio when I was little. Yeah. So I also
there
know what
you
mean.
There you go, you see.
Yeah. I know exactly what you mean, where you had to actually visualize and believe it for it to actually happen.
I'm big into visualization.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm also big into? I think a lot of people visualize themselves in spaces, but there also has to be an acute discernment of knowing that the opportunity is at hand for you to take advantage of what you see. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of times people find themselves right around their dream. They're on the fringes of their dream, but they don't discern the moment. Mm. Like, now is the time to go all in to be a pro athlete, or now is the time to go all in to be a radio host, or whatever dream you saw yourself doing. And oftentimes the all in doesn't necessarily mean that I'm all prepared.
Right. You have to take the leap. You have to take the leap.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. But how do you do that? What if you're scared? What if you're totally scared?
Well, I think that's why you have to build great accountability around you all the way through your journey. You want people that can sense the moment for you, that can support you in that uncomfortable space, because it is uncomfortable for a while, you know. They support you in that uncomfortable space. And also, it does take a level of faith and belief that a bigger thing is happening right now.
Right, and that it can work.
And I shouldn't shriek back, but I should run forward.
Wow, that's so scary. You have to imagine the land. What is it? You jump in the land, the ground will appear. That you have to really believe. Like Indiana Jones, you know, when he's crossing the invisible bridge and he used to throw sand to see it. Uh-huh. It's like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but like if you build it, they will come.
Totally.
We're talking to Terrell Fletcher, calling us from San Diego, former NFL running back. So, I mean, there's so much to find out about you. I suppose we can find out a lot more about this in your new book that's coming out. Mm-hmm. And the book is called The Book of You, Discover God's Plan and Transform Your Future. So this one's coming out September 27th, so it's not available yet. This is exciting.
Yes, it's super exciting. This book, much of the contents of this book was lived out during the period between the moment I retired and the moment I really stepped into this next space of my life. For me, it ended up being community and ministry. But there was an in-between period between this and that, you know, and it's in those in-between periods where our greatest sense of insecurity show up, where our doubts appear, where we lose a sense of who we are. Mm-hmm. And it's about how to stabilize the ground in that period of transition and how to chart the course for the next phase. And what I found out was that even though the context of those emotions and feelings for me centered around retirement and football, I realized that the space of transition is a familiar space to many people. Stay-at-home moms who are now empty nesters, divorcees that don't know what tomorrow brings for them, men and women who have been laid off and have to redefine their career. So I realized that this space of transition and these feelings of insecurities are very familiar, because for most of us that have spent a lot of time training ourselves in one particular activity, we have done more than just gotten good at a job. We've actually traded off our identity for that job. And what losing it or having to retire from it or watching it grow up and leave the house, what that now does to us, it forces us to change and reestablish an identity for ourselves. And this book is about helping you reestablish your identity according to principles that we find in the tenets of our Christian faith. You know, so it's not a theological book. I don't want people to think they're about to pick up a book of theology and have to
Don't let the word God scare you, right?
Yeah, right.
It's not that. It's a principle-based book that is built off of faith and is built off of the journey of trusting that a bigger plan is out there, that you're a part, that you have a major part to play in it. And to remind you that, man, life is not about being successful. It's about being significant. And when we recognize that we carry great significance and there's a purpose to our being, then we can attack it that way.
So the word successful is so loaded with so many terrible like levels you have to reach, you know what I mean? And the idea of significance is so much more attainable. So that's such a cool saying. Like, I can grasp significance, but I have a hard time with success. That's a great way of saying that.
Right. Success is what people, it's meeting the expectations of people. Significance is meeting the expectations of your internal meter.
Yourself, yeah.
Yes. So we challenge people to chase your blueprint, not to chase everybody else's blueprint for you.
Wow. Well, I have a Jewish mother, so I have to really, really read this book because I want to do everything she wants. You know what I mean? Like, I just do.
But you've got your own journey to
do. But I have to remember that.
Yeah, exactly.
I really do.
Yeah. No, but, you know, Terrell, you're also saying to people that you got to find the meaning for your life, you know? I mean, you can't just, like, run after material things and think you're going to be successful in that way because, you know, I guess you can accumulate a lot of stuff, but it's still not meaningful.
Right. Yeah. The accumulation and the chasing of stuff is a symptom of a broken life. And I don't think we view it that way. Consumerism has forced us into saying that this is what we should be chasing. But to chase those things, looking for significance in things that that only lead to their own end, is a problem in itself. And we have to see that as being a symptom. We have to ask ourselves, you know, why is it that I need to have another car? You know, why is it that my house needs to be this much bigger? And what is that really saying to us about a society? So materialism and consumerism is an issue. And in fact, I heard one guy say that that consumerism is the new racism. You know, so that one group creates and another group is bred to just buy, and they keep us at a lower end of a social spectrum because all we do is buy and never invest. So, but as it relates directly to the book, mattering is everything. Like, everybody wants to know that they have a contribution and that their contribution to humanity matters.
Right.
Whether it's to our family, to our jobs, to our communities, that we matter, that I'm not just a person that's putting a cog in a wheel to make cars, that I'm not just a person that turns a lug nut and I can be replaced by anybody. But we want to know that we matter, that our contribution matters. And this book helps you find your natural blueprint, the stuff you came into the earth with, the things that nobody trained you and taught you to do. You just discovered that this is who I am. And how do I train who I am and then position myself in the world so that I can matter every time I go and perform these activities? So that's the crux of the book. And just one note of correction as far as ordering the book, I think right now is the best time. The pre-orders are the best time to order the book.
Yes.
On Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, Books a Million, anywhere books can be bought. You can pre-order it now, and we have it for almost 44% off.
Ooh.
And that's only until the end of next week. At the end of next week, it goes back up to regular price.
Oh, really? Because I was wondering. Yeah, I mean, it's less than $10 for the paperback. You guys can go ahead and get that. And, yeah, I'm looking forward to this. It sounds pretty promising, Terrell. And how long did it take you to work on the book?
The full book process is about a year-long process. The lifelong lessons that you'll learn from the book, they took me, 41 years to learn.
Right.
What we're getting, the feedback we're getting, and you know how the book process works. You get pre-books, and then you send them out to people that will critique the book, and they write articles about it. What we're getting back is none sort of phenomenal for a first-time book. We're getting our critics, they're writing books back saying that, man, this is something I need for my life. This is not just a read for me to critique and put in our newspaper, but this has really changed my life. My editor was just blown away. She said this is the perfect book for the perfect season of her life while she's working. She's editing, saying, I needed this book.
That's always a good thing.
And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. So I'm encouraging all of the listeners and men and women that are out there. This is not about being an adult or being in high school. It's not an age. It's a psychographic that we went after. And it's the men and women that are in a psychological disposition that says, I'm really searching for the next portion of my identity in this new season of my life.
Mm-hmm.
Or I feel like I'm about to exit a season, to enter a new season, and I need to know who I am so that I can position my life in a manner that lends me to have great significance. So that's what the book of you is about. It's not about me. It's really about you.
And that's what the book is called, mm-hmm. The Book of You.
Mm-hmm.
Terrell Fletcher, thank you so much. Do you want to, how can people find out more about you online?
Perfect. You can find out about me by going to www.terrellfletcher.com. That's TerrellFletcher.com. And you can find out as much information as you need to find out about me. I can also be found on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, at Terrell Fletcher. One word, Terrell Fletcher.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good. Terrell, congratulations on the new
book. Yeah, sounds amazing. Go pre-order, everyone. Pre-order.
Yes. Amazing.
Absolutely.
Amazing career, amazing life, and you're definitely someone I would buy a book from,
absolutely.
You know, because you seem to have been through it, you know, a couple times.
Wow. Thank you, guys. I really appreciate it, and I hope you all enjoy the book. And again, thank you for sharing your platform with me. You guys are doing an amazing job as well.
Absolutely. Thank you for joining
us
this morning. Terrell Fletcher, everybody go out and get the book. And we'll talk to you again soon, hopefully.
After we read it,
we'll
be different people.
Yeah.
All right, bye now.
Okay,
take
Terrell,
care.
Bye-bye.
Wow. He's a great speaker, isn't he?
Yeah, he's cool, you know. It's just that the phone line, sometimes it's hard to understand. You know, he was clipping, you know. But you don't want to interrupt the interview and call him back or have him call back and stuff.
No,
but
I could hear him. I felt him in my soul.
No, I know. I mean, but I pay attention to these things.
Yeah, you're a producer, too.
Yeah,
that's what
I'm
you're
the
here.
Driver here, you know.
I'm like, this is amazing. But that's the kind of thing. I was reading a book called You Are a Badass, and one of our guests had also read it. And it says, don't just read these self-help books or whatever they are, not just self-help, but, you know, real self-improvement books once or twice. Read them all the time. So new ones will always give you, and it's sort of like practicing. You can't just speak a language and you're trying to learn it and just read one book about it. You have to constantly practice the art.
That makes sense.
So new books like this are always exciting to get.
That's true. I was at a point in my life where I was getting a lot of those, you know.
Me too.
Think usually when you get depressed and down,
my God.
Right?
Barnes and Noble in Ann Arbor, Michigan.
It's
the guy's
there's help.
Yeah,
for me.
She goes, oh, it's you again. Yeah, over to the left. And she I would just sit there and buy books. I bought romance novels by Nora Roberts and self-help books.
Well,
constantly. That's amazing. I was a real catch.
So what are one or two books that are still memorable to you?
Okay, so this is so easy for me. Yeah. Because I was a deep, like we talked about, in college, which is what Terrell's talking about. I had a transition, and I had a terrible time in college. I hated college. I was very clinically dark and depressed. And I read a book called by Pema Chodron, P-E-M-A. She's a Manhattan, I think she's from Manhattan, or New England. And her husband had an affair, and she threw a rock at his head and then became a Buddhist monk for the next, a Buddhist nun for the next 50 years.
Whoa.
So she's like, I think she just turned 80 or 70, but she wears the traditional robes and she has the short haircut and she writes books, but she has a very American way of writing about it so that it's like hilarious and funny and like relatable, because she herself is not enlightened, so she's still trying. So it's called her, she's written a million, you know, Getting Comfortable with Uncertainty, stuff like that. But the best one to read is When Things Fall Apart. And it really makes her whole segment. And that's what she got on Oprah because of this book.
Yeah.
And man, it is a great book.
Wow.
Because it isn't like, breathe and find your inner eye. It's like, yeah, you know, when things like shit that hits the fan, here's what I do as a Buddhist nun.
Yeah,
and it's
right.
Like, okay, I can read this. Okay. And I go back to it. It has really good structure, but it's she's not anywhere close to being enlightened. She's just like me, trying just as much.
Yeah.
So it's she's very funny, and
that's cool.
She
you
was
could relate to it.
Totally
you could connect to the book, which
and
is amazing.
Exactly. And the Dalai Lama uses Pema Chodron as her his liaison for the U.S.
Oh.
So whenever he comes, she's there. So he's and she, you know, goes on retreats. And she said one time she was on a retreat where you're not allowed to speak to anyone. And someone was giving her like bad energy. And it was like, so she talks about how much she's like, why does this person hate me? Why does this person hate me? And it's like not so, it's not cerebral. It's just real.
Right.
Relatable. So get that. That's a great book if you need one.
Yeah. Wow. It reminds me of some cult and stuff. I mean, I'm not saying this is cultish, but for some reason these cults came into my mind because you said retreat and nobody talks.
Yeah.
And it's nuns and stuff, you know, so I'm thinking like...
But it's just Buddhism. It's just
yeah.
Buddhism.
No.
No, she said she was invited to one that's like a cult where she said everyone had to smile all the time.
Really?
And laugh.
Yeah.
And she said in her head, she's like, there's a lot of pent up anger at this place. She's like, it was so creepy.
What attracts me to these cults is all the free sex they have there, you know? I mean, it's just attractive.
Wait, I didn't know
me.
That.
They did. Many of them, it's like...
Like
you know,
free love or whatever? Because,
yeah, like... Or they would all serve like the leader and stuff,
yeah, that
you know?
Leader shit is but, very fucked up.
Yeah, right?
Yes.
Wow.
That leader... Anytime you call yourself a leader, I have an issue. When you're calling yourself a leader,
yeah, right.
And you have a long mustache and lots of little girls in like long dresses, I don't want to know you.
Yeah, right?
You're out. I'm out.
Wow.
Yeah.
I know.
No, any kind of psychology where someone's the leader, that's scary. Buddhism is all about everyone's a leader.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, much more happy.
We're all good. Let's yeah. all get along.
But she's like, you know, she also talks about transitions, which Terrell was talking about as like very electrical and juicy times in our lives, but we learn to fear it because it's like nobody likes transitioning.
Right.
It's always filled with terrible obstacles, but it's actually a really big growth period for people. So if you reframe it as a cool, like it's an interesting time in your life and not a terrifying, it can help you.
Yeah.
It's still terrifying.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. But Terrell was definitely interesting, and I like...
good attitude, man.
Yeah, I like inspiring books.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
And, you know, if he's made it to the NFL, major team, major role, you
smart,
know.
Smart man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
And he knew he had to go for it. He said, once you're there, you had to take the leap. It's the Indiana Jones Bridge, man.
Yeah. And that's the thing. You don't just sit there and hope you'll make it.
But that's what everyone does. That's so what
right?
a lot of people do.
You just have to make it happen.
But it's not easy.
It's not going to happen to you.
But what's interesting is, like, for you, like, when I wanted to be on your radio show, I had to cold call an email.
Right.
And it was not fun. That is an awful thing to have to do to someone. And I did it to, I had done that before, but it's not a comfortable feeling.
But it wasn't cold calling.
No,
because
wasn't.
You were responding.
That's true.
To an
that's
ad,
true.
You know?
No, that's true.
It's not like you were calling me and saying, "Hey, you have a radio station."
I've done that before too.
Well, but that would be cool too. You
right?
See,
exactly.
But
right.
you took the steps.
Exactly. And that's the tricky part. Even if you, I was like, "Well, I don't have that lot of experience. What is he going to think?" And then I was like, "I don't care about any of that.
Yeah.
I'm Indiana Jones. I'm jumping on the invisible bridge, and it's going to appear."
Exactly.
And it did. So you have to take a risk.
Yeah. Exactly. And what have you got to lose? You know, I mean,
just your dignity.
If they say no, though.
Yeah, what is the worst thing can happen?
But you don't, yeah, you don't have the job anyway. So if they say no, you haven't really lost anything.
Totally.
And if they say yes, you win a lot.
Correct. It's almost like a win-win.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
unless you lose, but
yeah, well, that's always sucky. But I mean, at least you've tried. You know what I mean? What is it? The saddest words that have ever been are those that read "it could have been," because it's like you didn't take the chance. The saddest words in words or pen are those that read "it could have been."
Yeah, that's true. Like, this is similar to when they say, "I don't regret the things I did, only the things I did
not
do."
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
So, yeah, who knows?
Yeah.
But no, I mean, I feel that I've missed out on some things in my life.
Yeah, really.
So I do regret some things I didn't do.
Yeah.
But it's never too late, though. That's the thing, you know.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, at 56, I still haven't learned some lessons.
What are something you wish you had done? Do you know any?
Yeah, I just had a lot more sex.
Okay.
And I don't mean to be
crude about it.
Like single dimensional.
Yeah, one dimensional.
One dimensional. Yeah. But it's true. It's true. I feel that I've let many years go by, and maybe not just sex, but even romance.
Yeah,
you know?
Right. The whole idea of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think a lot of people would say that.
Really?
If they get stuck in a relationship or not, or they can't get in one, they feel like they're wasting those years that could have been filled with, like,
exactly, with something else.
Totally understandable.
You know?
Totally.
So I feel like I lost out on some of my 30s.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was a really bad time in my life, you know, so I wasn't really connecting with anybody at that point.
There you go.
But, and
you're such a companion person. I feel like you always, I mean, I'm like that too. I was like, I like to be with a partner.
Yeah.
So I'm
For the most part, I've been like that. But for the past 3 years, no, I haven't even hardly dated, you know.
Are you enjoying it?
I love being alone. There's no doubt about it. But I do miss having somebody to share things.
Some people enjoy it. So I really do like being with a partner better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, for sure. So I've had long relationships, but between them, or the ones that I felt were went on for too long, I felt I missed out on.
I think that's a common thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And now it's harder, you know, because as you get older, the pool of people that you can associate with is not as large.
No, and it's harder to find people that aren't paired up. It's harder to find people that you're attracted to in a certain way that have the same like youthfulness as you do.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, that's not
even
easy.
If you don't have youthfulness, you still look for it in other people.
You absolutely do. Yeah. You're like, my back hurts.
Yeah, you know.
Find it somewhere else.
Like, whatever, you know. I mean, look at Johnny Depp marries a 30-year-old, you know. I mean, all these guys marrying these young women because that's what men want.
Right.
You know?
It does really good for our self-esteem, women who are older 30.
Yeah,
it feels
right?
really good. It's completely inappropriate. Of relationships, but I think and it's funny the things we regret. Like, I have a big regret. I went to Michigan, and again, I had a really bad time. And it's not that I didn't like my academics or the school itself. I don't want to take down Michigan. I'm a Go Blue Wolverine to die for, of course.
Uh-huh.
But I was too snobby to rush a sorority because I thought I am so much more intellectual than that. And then I ended up with no friends. So it was one of the worst. If I had just gotten over my stupid pride and realized it was away in a community that I could have met friends, I think, Mike, I could regret all of college. I think all of my college could have been a completely different experience.
That's true.
So I regret that. And it's like, it's a little thing. The day of rush week, I was like, do I do it or not? And I'm like, nah. And if I had just gone and done the thing where I was like, I'm guaranteed to meet a lot of people, I can probably help out and do like cool charity work. I mean, I just was too snobby for it.
Wow. So you like, well, you hit a fork on the road and you took
the wrong one. All right. Well, and I'm not like saying sorority's the best thing, but at a school like Michigan, there's it's easy to find a community that way. And I could have used it to my advantage. So
otherwise it's hard to break in.
I had nobody. It was just like, it was just ice and tundra.
Wow.
It was so bad.
That's terrible, Tori.
But it was, you know, but that's a regret that I now like learn about. So if, you know, I take that in. But I think regrets can be very useful.
No, they can. And I'm sure what you learned from that, though, is that you're independent.
Yeah.
You know, you can,
yeah, and I could do it.
You can survive on your own.
True. Exactly. And I did.
And that's a big deal.
It is a big deal. And I learned to empathize with people who go through depression, to be honest,
right?
Which is really good.
Yeah.
Because you learn to empathize. Oh, man, I know this depth. You know,
right.
I've been here before. I know how you feel. So that you're empathizing with more compassion with more people in the world.
That's true. Yeah.
So that's
a lot
too.
Of people get depressed, let me tell you.
Yeah.
And we're not talking about just being blue, you know.
I mean,
you're talking about long term.
Like sleeping in for a couple days.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Or like really wanting to die.
Yeah, absolutely.
All
I mean,
right?
it gets there. And I think in college, what's interesting is there's not a lot of... there are resources, but it's tricky.
Yeah.
You're kind of thrown on your own, and then they're like, just good luck.
Yeah, right.
So it's tricky, man, but, you know, you can do it. You grow up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you... it's never too late, really.
My sister's going back to college.
Yeah.
And that's and that's another transition for her.
Oh, wow.
My dad's retiring. That's everyone I know, you know someone going through a transition.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, that's really scary.
How old is your sister now?
She is 38.
Oh, so she's going back to school for master's?
She's going back to school, get her degree. She stopped for a little bit.
Oh, I see.
Took some time off, and now she's like, but it's scary going back.
Yeah, no, it is.
And it's like, wow, so she had to take that risk. And she's not a risk taker. I'm like much more of a risk taker.
Wow.
So that was really scary to do, too. But little transitions, big, they're all difficult.
Exactly. You got to take chances. Yeah. And you're not going to succeed in each one of them, but it's okay, you know.
Yeah.
Because if you don't fail, it shows you haven't really tried, you know.
Yes.
Because you can't succeed in everything you do, but you try.
The most interesting people I know have gone through tough times, and the most boring people I know have really just not gone through tough times. They've just sort of skated through, and I have no interest in sort of... I need someone that's gone through it, you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true. A couple more things. Like this we have to talk about. I mean, listen to the headline. Judge says to a woman in a rape case...
Oh, yeah, I heard this.
Why couldn't you just keep your knees together?
Wow.
I mean, so what do you say to something like this? Let me give you a couple more quotes from this trial.
He said that verbatim? Why couldn't you?
Yeah, that's verbatim.
Wow.
And
where is this?
In Canada.
This is in Canada?
This is in Canada. But the guy is a South African-born judge. And he says, I'm totally ignorant of Canadian law later.
Wait, then is he a Canadian judge?
Yeah. Why is he a judge, right?
Yeah, I'm very confused by
this. So he's in the midst of a week-long judicial council hearing, and they'll determine whether he's going to be keeping his job or not. But he said, like, look, another couple things he said. Young women want to have sex, particularly if they're drunk. Then he said some sex and pain sometimes go together.
That's what I heard.
That's not necessarily a bad thing, he says. A 64-year-old fart. What the hell are you talking about?
Yeah. You know what did they say why women have to be feminists? Because men like this still exist. And they're judges in a judicial system. So when he says, why can't you keep your knees together? That's why you still have to be a feminist.
These days.
That's why. Because some asshole is a judge and he's his opinion.
And he's blaming the victim.
And that's his opinion. That's outrageous.
Right.
Yeah.
You see, and these are the people that make the laws.
And they're in charge.
These are the lawyers.
These are, like, that's the problem. When you have this guy won. He's at the top. He's making decisions. And then his moral compass is pointed that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we still need a lot of feminists, to be honest.
Yeah, there you go. And to end this whole outrage, look what he says to the man that was charged with a crime that he acquitted.
He acquitted him?
He acquitted
him.
Wow. I want you to tell your friends, your male friends, that they have to be far more gentle with women.
Wow.
They have to be far more patient, and they have to be very careful. To protect themselves, they have to be very careful.
He says that to protect themselves?
Yeah.
Wow, what a fucking asshole.
Yeah, but, I mean, just the thing of be gentle with women, I mean, what is this?
What are we, cattle?
Yeah.
Go fuck yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
I wonder if he's getting laid. Yeah.
Yeah, but he's definitely being dismissed, I'm sure.
I thought you would say this, to be honest, in the South, where maybe women's rights aren't so, but this is Canada, where everyone's the coolest.
Right.
God.
But it comes from South Africa, man. They're used to submission, I guess.
I don't know. You can't generalize, but I mean, this man
No, you can't.
Disgusting.
Yeah.
Disgusting human being.
Yeah.
That's like the Brock Turner when he was, set free after 3 months.
Yeah, right.
And there was a meme that went viral that said, I had stuff in my fridge that's still there when Brock Turner went into jail.
Whoa.
3 months and that was it. He was supposed to be in there for 6, got out at 3.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, you see, I mean, that's like, how can this still happen in 2016?
There's a great sign at a protest that women hold that say, it's 2016 and I can't believe I still have to protest this shit.
Yeah.
You know, it's true. It's like, are you serious?
Yeah, right.
She was unconscious in a dumpster and you get 3 months after raping her.
Whoa.
God.
Wow.
Well.
Yeah, people are crazy. Baby.
Yeah. Well, hopefully this guy is... you know, dropped from whatever Canadian system it is. I mean, that's outrageous.
Yeah. It is. It is. I don't know. And how do you let somebody
get
that's
that
a
far,
judge
yeah.
from another country go on, you know, go sit on the bench when he has no idea that he's insane. His knowledge of Canadian law is non-existent. But the point is, that has nothing to do with it, with what he said. Yeah,
exactly. It doesn't. It's not right? a law. It's just human decency.
Right. Yeah. Not to say this shit.
Yeah. Even if you didn't know any law, you don't want, you know, don't say that, close your legs to a rape victim.
Right.
My God.
But it shows, but on the other hand, it's good that they say it because you know where their mind is, you know?
Right. At least it's outwardly, right?
Exactly.
And you're not just manipulating from the bench. This
right.
guy's just
and
a total asshole.
Because this rapist you just mentioned, Brock, was it?
Yeah, Brock Turner.
Yeah, Brock Turner. You know, I mean, who knows what the judge was thinking? Maybe he was thinking the same thing.
He said he didn't want to ruin this guy's life because he is such he was a swimmer at Stanford.
Yeah.
And he was like, I don't want to ruin his life from this one little thing that happened.
Yeah,
and
you see, there you go.
Yeah.
Belittling the whole thing.
Right.
Again.
And his dad said, his dad wrote a letter and said, just for 20 minutes of action, and he has to go through this. And
right,
I was like, whoa,
right.
you are deaf.
Right.
Tone deaf.
Wow.
Yeah.
I know. These people don't get it, man.
Well, hopefully this guy is recused from ever serving again. I don't
yeah.
even know how he got to be a judge. What's his name? Do you know?
Yeah, they have a name here, but I already
Dumb closed... Dumbface McDummy?
I already closed the All page because right, I don't really care about it.
Good.
But this is good news for I would say probably 99% of the women, is that Christian Siriani, I guess he's a fashion designer.
Christian Siriano.
Right.
From
Siriano.
Yeah, Project Runway.
Oh, okay. So
I'm
I don't
a big
know
fan.
That. Okay.
Huge fan.
I should even get the name right, right? But to me, what attracted me to this news is that he's got a plus size
oh, yes.
Line now.
You know why? Because Leslie Jones tweeted, "No one will dress me." The comedian on SNL.
Yes,
and
yes.
he tweeted, "How about me?"
Really?
And then he was like, "I've always dressed plus size women," and it went viral, him dressing Leslie Jones. And she looked
oh.
amazing. Do you remember that?
No, I know.
He said, "I offer to make you a dress." She looked amazing, and now he got virally inspired by the plus size community, and now he's opening a line.
There you go. You see, you got to go where the demand is, you
yes.
know? You don't just go in and pretend that all women are so skinny.
Oh, God.
It's not like that.
No. It's not even, yeah, it's not real.
Yeah.
It's just not real. So
I
like him a
I
lot.
Know.
He's sort of a new up-and-coming, he's not up-and-coming, but he's a designer for millennials. He's interested in gender fluidity, in plus size, in using social media for his benefit. So he's a smart little businessman.
Yeah, sounds good.
Yep.
And these women are beautiful, so
yeah.
there you go.
Yeah, and plus size these days is like a 6.
Yeah,
I'm like,
right?
come on. My God.
I know. So he's going for 5+. Sizes.
That's great.
Yeah.
And he makes beautiful, beautiful pieces. He won Project Runway.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
His sister used to wear size 00 clothing.
He's also very thin. He's
really?
A very small person. But I mean, I think, to be honest, there's money to be made in fitting the real America.
That's
you know?
True.
There's a gazillion dollars to be made in fitting someone a size 12 and over or whatever.
Absolutely.
I don't understand why.
The majority of the people.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But who knows, you know. People got to take care of their bodies. There's no doubt about it.
Mm-hmm.
If they want to be attractive.
And healthy.
Yeah, and healthy, you know. Attractive and healthy. There you go.
He's like, oh, yeah, and healthy.
Yeah. Depends what part of the body you're trying to satisfy
right.
at the time. But there
Different
you
things.
Go. Yeah. Well, this is it, Tori, for today.
Very fascinating.
Thank you to Terrell Fletcher.
Yes.
He was a fascinating guest on the phone. And who else? Okay, well, thanks everybody to those that providing the news for us. A lot of entertaining
mm-hmm.
shit. We didn't cover everything, but the dolphins thing was cool.
Yes, go speak to your dolphins.
Yeah, there you go. Collect a couple of them.
No.
Put them in your whatever, in your ocean.
There you go.
All right, everybody. Thank you all for joining us. Have a great day, Tori.
You too.
See everybody tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.